Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. Enduring well. For in due season, you're gonna reap.
Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. We come to you each and every week with ministries and programs that makes a difference in the life of our community. If you log on to this program, you'll see a template and a wording that should jump out and speak to you, say, help change your life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God, but maybe we can introduce and engage in the social events and the things that are plaguing this society. I'm excited this morning about our guest this morning. They are local, and you know, and it's very important to know what's available in your community to help our brothers and sisters through this life that they're struggling with. You know, last week we had a young man on that did a street ministry, and they was sharing with us the importance it was to be a street evangelist and how what he's doing is making a difference in the lives of the people he encounter. And I challenge you to just sit back and relax and pay attention to the program and any of these programs in which you're listening to. We have a very great archive, a very large archive. We've been broadcast for nearly 3 years now, and so we have quite a selection of material that you too can go back and listen to. And be empowered by it. Also, we gave you contact number. We're going to do the same thing today. But before we start the show, we'd like to share this number with you, with our listening audience, so you can pass it along and share it with your friends and acquaintances. That number is 310-982-4126. That's our call-in number. And the site is blogtalkradio.com/Granny's Place, and that'll take you to our archive section. But without any further delay, I'd like to introduce to you at this time Robert. Robert is with Association of Persons Affected by Addiction. It's a recovery community center located here in Big D. This is an internet program, so we go coast to coast. But right now we're at Big D. We're talking to Robert about his recovery program. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program. I'm excited, brother. I'm excited about the interview that we had prior to this show, and I want to continue that with a broader audience and let other people listen in on what we are sharing to make a difference in our community.
Well, it actually is a privilege and a pleasure. But before I get started, I want to just thank, on behalf of APPA, Associated Persons Affected by Addiction, our Executive Director, Joe Powell, as well as our volunteers and staff. We just want to say thank you for giving us this opportunity. And I also want to give a special thanks to Lee, who was instrumental in making this happen. So it's a privilege to always be able to talk about APPA, but more importantly, to talk about recovery.
Yes, so right. Now, give us a formal introduction and tell us about APPA, and so our listening audience will know what we're at.
Okay. Well, APPA, A-P-A-A, stands for Associated Persons Affected by Addiction. We are a nonprofit organization that help men and women to sustain and maintain recovery. I'm really honored and excited to say that we are in the community. We are located on Martin Luther King, 3116 Martin Luther King Boulevard. We just moved there. We've been around for 16 years, and prior to that, we was over on Butler, and it really wasn't in the community. So we're just excited to be right there in the heart of South Dallas, where the need is necessary. People can reach out and get the help that they need, those who are struggling with addiction, as well as mental illness. So I'm excited to be right there in the heart of the community. 2012, where we was on Butler, we actually helped 30,000 people walk through our doors that were seeking recovery or already in recovery. So we know that people are hurting, people are looking for answers and want to be free. I really appreciate your show, you know, Free From Inside. When I looked at that yesterday and I thought about my personal life as well as I know other people's lives, being trapped in the disease of addiction, man, it is mind-boggling, unbelievable, and you definitely be in prison. So recovery gives people that freedom that we all deserve and desire. So I'm just grateful for the name of your show, and it definitely reminds me what we do in the community, set people free from the ills of addiction.
Oh, Robert, that is so well spoken. Now, tell us about the program. Now, what are some of the programs embedded in this particular program to that you could offer to the men and women? You said that this is a nonprofit organization. So if I was to refer someone over to you, what could, type of program can you present to them based on their particular thing that they're going through?
Okay, well, that's a good question. Thank you for asking. First of all, everybody is welcome. Anybody who's seeking or as well as in recovery. Once you walk through the door, male as well as female, you will get a coach. And that coach will help you put together a plan of action to sustain and maintain recovery. That coach will help you get past any struggles, any challenges, any difficulties that you may have in your recovery process. And we know for a fact that when people embrace recovery, that they have a lot of challenges. You know, being in recovery myself, and we took a survey of 500 men and women, and Mr. Lewis, one of the things, number one challenge that a person may have is job. You know, here I want to get my life together, and I'm ready to make a change, and now I got a felony, and I can't seem to get a job because of that, as well as housing. I can't seem to get a house because or apartment because of my past. I didn't pay rent. I got evicted. So we know people have a lot of challenges once they embrace recovery, and this is why I'm so grateful that we do what we do, because we can help a person get past those struggles as well as be there with them and for them and know that they too can get a job, they too can have an apartment and move on in their recovery in spite of the challenges that might come with it. Are you there?
Yes, sir. That is so well spoken there, Robert. I was just making some notes here. You said you had over 30,000 people that come through those doors. That, man, that is speaking volumes, brother. And, you know, so that's a great need for that. You know, as we shared before about the availability of the program, give us some hours and you know, and you told us about the being assigned to a coach for a particular need. But if I wanted to get someone in the program, what are some of the steps of being, if I, you know, of being a part of Apple?
Thank you for asking. Man, it's really easy accessible. You can just walk through our doors, and you don't have to make an appointment. You just come in, fill out paperwork. We asked you watch a 30-minute video, and then at that point you can sign your coach. With that, you become a member. And once you become a member, the things that we have to offer, we have a full schedule. We open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday. We open from 9 to 9 in the evening. On Saturdays, we open from 12 to 6. Sunday, we open from 8 to 9. We do a lot of stuff there at Apple and provide a lot of resources as well as a lot of help. One of the things that I'm really proud about and to say that we offer is DRA. DRA stands for Dual Recovery Anonymous. And that's for people who suffer from mental illness as well as addiction. A lot of people that, and even family members that we see struggle, unfortunately, have been diagnosed and won't take medication, and they find themselves medicating with drugs and alcohol. So we provide meetings on a daily basis. A person can come there and get a GED. A person can come there and get involved in our computer lab. We have computer classes. We have meetings throughout the day. Our first meeting starts at 9:30, and it's called Spiritual Development, and it's an hour group, 9:30, 10:30. Then our next meeting is at 12, and it's called Peer Huddle, and that's where peers can come and come together and share their experience, strength, and hope. And last but not least, we have a group called DRA, and again, that is for people who have been diagnosed from bipolar to schizophrenic or just clinical depression. The bottom line is that, you know, they too need a place where they can feel safe and share about their diagnosis and share about how the medication is making them feel and share about how they felt when the doctor told them that they has been diagnosed with a mental illness. So we just provide a lot of support, a lot of help, and most importantly, we provide a place where a person can be in a natural environment and know that he's around or she's around her peers, and they won't be judged, they won't be looked at any different, and we provide an atmosphere where one can grow. And I think we can I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead. I was saying
you can't put a price tag on that because it's just important that I be able to be in an environment that I'm not threatened, I feel supported, and people are just like me.
And you know, Robert, you said something there because I know during my time of addiction, it was I was being intimidated, inward intimidation by being around people that I didn't quite think that they understood what I was going through. They didn't know the plight that I was facing. People said, just shake it off. And it's difficult to shake it off when you have an addiction or when you have a mental illness in your life, you know. It's easily said than done. And I'm glad that you have a program that DRA, because a lot of times we are masking our symptoms by the drug addiction, by the negative behavior. But yet, Apple Association of People Affected by addiction has been able to touch those things and being for real about it. Because some of the people that's been in your program, are you sure? Well, they went through the plight. So they have a sense of understanding and a sense of being committed that this thing is not the end of a person.
Yes, sir. You know, one of the things about addiction, it can have you thinking that you're the only person that's been doing crazy things and have crazy thoughts. And we don't use the word crazy because that's a word that brings about stigma. And what made me say it, because I'm looking at it, the word, but that's just to say that a lot of times we come in the doors, just like you shared about how you felt. You know, that's not an isolated feeling that, hey, you know, won't nobody understand me. You know, you don't know what I did. You know, you don't know what I've been thinking. And to know that you can come in an environment and be around people that is just like you and have done some of the same things that you've done and have thought some of the same thoughts that you thought, it just makes a world of a difference in your growth. Because it's all about support. You know, we all need help.
Yes. And, now, Robert, as you were saying that, they all need help. You know, what program you have in bed to assist in the neighborhood? Because I know you're located in South Dallas to the Brown Park. and that's an area that's growing and it's expanded. But as a ministry, as a recovery group, are you have things in place to assist the growth and be aware of things that's going around? Because it was a depraved neighborhood at one time, but yet it's growing, and we want to be a part of that because we're basically in that neighborhood.
Yes, sir. And I'm excited about what's to come. We right there in front of Fair Park, speaking of growth, and I was at a town hall meeting with the mayor, and they are projecting on making that community vibrant and having people outside of that community come in and feel safe and be able to go to the historical Cotton Bowl in Fair Park. So it's a lot of good stuff is getting ready to happen. We're excited at our location because we literally right across the street from the train station. You literally can get off the train. Don't go right to or left. Go right across the street and open that door. So we're excited about our location and what's to come in South Dallas. One of the things for many, many years, I always thought how ridiculous it was when you hear about South Dallas, that all the drugs was over there and people didn't want to come. I've been in the field for 22 years, and all through my experience, I've always heard about how bad South Dallas was. People didn't want to go to South Dallas because there wasn't nothing over there but drugs. But by the grace of God, we are changing that. You know, today, 4 years ago, it was no, and this is ironic, no support, no AA, no NA, no CA. What you did hear and was available was drugs. That's all you heard. And I understand today, though, that South Dallas got a bad rap, you know, but that's another subject, how people came from other communities, came into South Dallas because South Dallas was wet and a lot of things was happening, but it wasn't from the people within South Dallas. It was from outsiders. So that has changed. You don't hear so much about South Dallas now that other communities are wet, sadly to say. And so other communities don't have to come to South Dallas. And the results of that, you don't hear about so much of the ill that goes on with drugs and alcohol. So, again, I've learned that a lot of that was a bad rap from other people outside of South Dallas. South Dallas, again, like you said, is growing, a lot of good stuff. We're there, and today, Mr. Lewis, there are not only Apple is there. Now, 5 years ago, mind you, it wasn't nothing there. Now they have a group called Miracle Solutions right there in South Dallas. They have another group, an NA group called Southside Serenity. They also have another group. It's called, right there in South Dallas, it's called Central Group. And now we have APA. So, you know, the theme and the talk about South Dallas and nothing over there but drugs has changed. There's some recovery in South Dallas. People are embracing it. So I'm excited about that. And we're looking forward.
That's so true. You know, you were sharing with me about a meeting that's coming up, I think, in about 10 today. Would you give me, will you prepare to give us some more information regarding that meeting that you're going to attend regarding South Dallas and the development of that neighborhood?
I'm not prepared to be accurate with that information right now, so I don't want to say nothing that is not accurate. But it's a meeting that's taking place at 10 o'clock. And it's going to be right there on Martin King and Irving. It's a church there. I don't have the name of the church that's going to provide the space. But and it's a meeting that's going to speaking to development of South Dallas.
Okay, great. That's all we need to know. There is some activity going on. That's what I wanted to hear now, because sometimes people go to play, they say this is dead and it's worthless and useless, but we know that South Dallas and that community is alive and well because of, like yourself, association of people affected by addiction is making a difference in the life. And we know that there's many, many recovery stories that's that goes along with your ministry and how you and your ministry and Lee that I met at the street ministry a week ago, and he was very informative about your about the program that you and him is involved in. And I was excited to have you to be a guest on here. And Lee was sharing with us that how it had made a difference in his life, how he was addicted to a lot of craziness, and but he made his way to Apple, and Apple restored him. And now he's able to give back. And that's what we talk about, give back. You know, I shared with you sometime, I think once before, about the scripture said that, you know, Jesus told Peter that the enemy is out to get him, but when he is restored, he has strengthened his brother. And I love that, man. I mean, there's some recovery involved in this. There's some wellness involved in this. There's some togetherness involved in this. But, you know, when you get out of this, you ought to look back and to help somebody. You to pull them out of this the way you've been pulled out. And I think that Apple have a hand on that, you know, and to the best of its extent to be able to pull men and women out of a life of addiction.
Yes, sir. And that's our goal. One of the things that is highlighted once you embrace recovery is that you give back what's been freely given to you. And one of the things that I have learned, that when people get out to grips of their addiction, when people become free, they want to give back. It seems like it's in our DNA that now that I'm out, I want to help somebody. I have yet to meet a person who's been free from addiction and not wanting to give back. You know, and recovery community highlight the fact that you keep what you have by giving it away. You know, once I've been introduced to this program, introduced to some tools that can help me move forward in my recovery process, part of my process is to give back. We have a program that we do once a month, and it's called a Hero's Journey. In the Hero's Journey, people get the opportunity to fulfill their journey. We know that addiction is such an enemy to life that you really be in the belly of the beast. You be
yes.
in the low of the low, right? You be disconnected from your community, your family. You be caught up. And one of the to complete your journey is to, once coming out, you come back and share with the community what you went through and now where you at today. And we do that once a month, the Hero's Journey. And that's part of the process of giving back and knowing that you too want somebody else to experience the freedom that comes with recovery.
And you know, Robert, that speaks in volumes there, because you know that lifts other people's spirit up to say, hey, things ain't that bad that I can't come back. You know, when a person lose hope, that's a terrible thing. Where you know that as I said, you have to be tired of being sick and tired. You know, and I like that hero's journey there, man, because I hear how my brother, my sister overcame that. You know, a wayward lifestyle, man. It allows me. It gives me encouragement. Hey, man, maybe I can get out of here. Maybe I can regain the things that I lost through addiction. I don't blame so much on the devil or my father, but it was me that caused these things here. And, you know, and I like the name of your program. You said the that affected of addiction here, the association of persons
that.
That's affected by
addiction.
Yeah, affected
not
by
people.
Addiction.
Yeah,
yes, sir. Persons. Yes, persons that are affected by addiction. Gosh, we got to own this here. It's our ownership.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
Ownership. And you know, and when is that done once a month? Give us a date so I might want to stick my head in the door and just be encouraged
yes,
by what I'm hearing.
Yes, sir. It's every fourth Thursday. And it's never done at our office, but it's in the community center. We've been occupying 2900 Live Oak. We have space there once a month, and we come together as as a community, and we fellowship, eat, drink, and have the privilege of listening to somebody share their experience, you know, their journey. So that takes place every fourth Thursday at 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock, great. I'm writing that down as we speak now. And we're going to open up the phone lines. Is that, we have a couple of callers that want to come in, and maybe they want to just give you words of encouragement. Maybe they want to know more about your program.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mike. You're on the net.
Good morning, my brother. You're always glad to be a participant in your show and to be a recipient of the services and the programs and ministries that actively engage in not only helping hurting people, but empowering them to take control of their lives and be all that God so desires that they be. Okay? I have a question for Robert. Being not only a minister and a social worker involved in the field of recovery for many years, I'm aware of many of the programs that have been in the Dallas area and even South Dallas over the last 35 years and the areas that we call near South Dallas, programs that used to be called Help Is Possible and so forth. Many of these programs now have been purchased and operated by a company called ShareHouse, which has traditionally been a forerunner in the provision of recovery services, and particularly in the area of inpatient and residential services. But the question is, what do you do for the majority of people who go through 12-step programs, have a desire and a commitment to stay clean, but really fall through the cracks? And oftentimes we're not aware of them because they return to a setting, a home, and family and friends who are active users. You know, I know many people in recovery programs who have succeeded and still do so. But these are people who have what I call extraordinary commitment and support to survive in the midst of a setting, an environment that cries out and consist of the gravitational pull of the things that they're fighting against. But so many individuals aren't capable of doing that, and they need housing options and residential options. What plans and what either to offer those kinds of services or to partner with other organizations that might help provide those kinds of services for hurting people?
Great question.
Well, Mike, that's
my
a good. Yes,
go ahead, Mike.
Excellent.
Go ahead, Rob.
Mike, that's why I'm so excited about APA. Again, APA stands for Associated Persons Affected by Addiction, and we help people to sustain and maintain recovery. Every person that walks through our doors get a coach, and that coach will help them to sustain and maintain their recovery. APA is open 7 days a week. You do not have to, and that's one of the beauties about APA, you do not have to go back to your old familiar area, your old grounds. You have a place. APA is designed for people that's in recovery. So if I have addiction and APA is my organization, I can go there and just hang out. I can stay engaged in my recovery process by being in an environment that nurture, that support me in my recovery. So that's one of the beauties for APA, is that we provide, I don't know if you heard this, but we open 6 days a week. Right, so a person can have, a person have availability, and they can stay in environment that continue to nurture their recovery, along with that coach. You know, we call our coaches a resource broker. No matter what you're trying to do, that coach will help you. If we can't do it in-house, the coach will be able to refer you, put you in the right direction, and make sure that your needs are met, or do the best that we can in-house, and if not, refer you out.
Hey, that's great. That's great. Now, what about the housing? Are y'all associated with any organization that help people with housing and getting them back into the mainstream or being able to support themselves? Because we know that this addiction is a lifelong thing now, but a long life journey, you need housing and clothes and other resources. Do Apple have
yes.
a network or support system to help men and women in housing and job placement and readiness?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everybody is different. Everybody's situation is different. You know, we have a situation where people literally just coming off the street. And for right then, they just need shelter. We have another individual who have money, but due to his environment or her environment, need a place where it's safe and where it's controlled atmosphere. And they might want to go into transitional housing. Then you have other people that's strong in their recovery and want permanent houses. It depends on the individual, and that's where the recovery coach and that relationship he or she have with their coach makes a difference. And we can address whatever that situation is. Do we have partnerships in the community with housing? Yes, we have places where if a person don't have no money and don't have no place to live. You know, we have partnership with organizations that will allow an individual to work for rent. You know, we have a choice organization that does that, because we don't want, and I say choice because we don't let people go out and be around alcohol. So
yes.
It's a few places that we refer that will allow a person to have housing, and they work for their rent.
That's
help people.
True.
I'm sorry.
No, that's so true. Cause I remember my addiction as I was in it. You know, I worked, but I was just working for my addiction and not for any room in a house or board. And I lived in a place called a bunkhouse in the Fair Park, which was a rooming house for people that were working, and I was just trapped in that. That was like trapped in your addiction. So I'm glad to see that you are giving people safe places and having structure in their life. And that's great, man. That's great to hear.
So, Mike, hopefully that somewhat answers your question, what we do and how we do it. This month is Alcoholism Awareness Month. A lot of people don't know that, along with September is Recovery Month all over the country. You know, APA engaged in a whole lot of activities in that month. Last month we had our open house in September. Every year we do that. But I'm sorry, go ahead. Did you?
No, I'm just really excited to hear about your program, because you know you're right. I am aware that especially in that area on MLK where you're located, that there are no real, visible, and sustainable intervention programs that are really accessible to people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. That's one of the reasons why I support and participate in Joel's program. I work as a broker, a facilitator for programs. And what I mean by that is to identify programs that are providing services to the same market, the same population, and then to help those programs recognize the need to form collaborative efforts to better meet the needs of the same individuals. I know some other programs who need to know of you, your organization, and I think your organization needs to know that there are some programs that provide real residential options. I'm talking about apartment services and other kinds of opportunities that allow people who are receiving recovery services that are not part of what we call, quote, the traditional lockdown controlled treatment programs. And I'm not knocking those programs because they're relevant, but usually there are only two ways you get into those programs. One, you have to go in through or be in the correctional system to gain access. Otherwise, you can't afford to pay for it, or you got to have some private insurance. And 90% of the people who are hurting don't have insurance and certainly don't necessarily want to have to go through the correctional system to get access. So I think it's wonderful, man, and I will certainly be following up to communicate with you more on how and what I can do to support you, and especially to connect you up with some other individuals that I think that you would thoroughly want to explore ways of partnering together. So I'm really pleased to hear this show this morning and to hear what you're doing. Okay.
And you know, just to add to that, Mike, our organization is ARC, and that stands for Apple Community Recovery Center. We are about the community, and we understand the importance of what you said about partnership and reaching out and doing collaborating and doing what we can do for a individual collectively. The more support an individual have, the more we can not only help that individual, but as well as family. We know that the disease of addiction is a family affair.
Yeah.
So we are not only family, but community. You know, and that's our goal. We envision a community, a world community, that understands that addiction as well as mental health is a problem that is a problem of the illness of the mind, body, and spirit. And we want to help eliminate the stigma. And we want everybody to know that we support prevention, treatment, as well as recovery. You know, that's our goal. And we look forward to doing that. And we have a great opportunity being there on Martin Luther King, right there in the heart of the community.
Amen. Yeah. Great. Mike, hold on here. We got another call on the line here now. Just sit back and relax. And I want you to come back in here before the end of the show here. Let's see. We're going to open this phone line up. Good morning, Mr. Daniels. You're on the net.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Daniel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Deacon Willis. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. We have Michael on here. He's with the APAA, a Recovery Community Center located in South Dallas here. Would you care to give us some comments or thoughts regarding the program, or you just sit back and listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'd like to ask a question. He said he was in he's quite familiar with the crowd on the South Dallas High, and then personally, it was kind of like a upscale Jewish community at first, and back in the 40s, through the 50s and the 60s, when the black people came in South Dallas, and basically, they had apartment complexes and everything in there, and then all of a sudden it was like somebody brought an entity inside the community to basically start destroying it. You know, first it was marijuana, and then it came with crack, and basically everybody just went for all four parts of the city. They just started going one way, leaving and coming back. The property started devaluating. And basically, the churches and the community, basically, they didn't try to help the problem because basically they wasn't educated to know what was happening. You know, basically, when something happens like that, basically you got to have a tool to basically instruct the people to tell them what was happening to themselves. And basically, it would seem like everybody just was running from the problem, you know, instead of trying to grasp the problem and try to help them, you know. And basically, when everybody started living on the streets and everybody got homeless, there wasn't nobody around to help them. And then when the places like you have came, a lot of them came and they kind of fooled the people because some of them got in trouble with the government because they wasn't true, you know. And basically, this kept on going on for the last, I believe, around about 20 years. And now, since everybody see how valuable this property is over there now, and everybody, you know, now everybody seems to want to, you know, well, there's hope, there's help, the hope, you know. And basically, there's
Mr. Daniel,
nobody no more, you know. There's nobody over there no more, you know.
Mr.
I'm not
Daniel.
Trying to.
Mr. Daniel, you have a question for our guest.
Yeah, basically I'm trying to say, what are your plans for the next 10 years, 5 years? I say basically, how many people are you getting a day or in a weekly amount? That's what I'm trying to say.
You have said a whole lot, but again, our mission is to educate all segments of the community about the nature of addiction, mental health, and recovery, and provide the support services to individuals, families, and the recovery community. You know, we understand, Mike, you know, you said something about help is possible, which is around the corner. I had the privilege a week ago to go in there, and I talked to approximately 70 men. Help is possible now is called a BOLD. So we are educating treatment centers, churches, the community as a whole. And back to answering the young man's question about how many people we see a day. We see approximately 80 people a day, between 40 and 65 people each day. And people don't even know that we're there. So, again, I told you in 2012, we 30,000 people came through our doors. And we're looking forward to twice as many here at Martin Luther King Center. And I want to personally invite everybody that's at the sound of my voice here in Dallas to come by our office and visit and see where we're located, what we do, and come and experience firsthand what we do at APA. And we're located, again, at 3116 Martin Luther King Boulevard, literally right across the street from the train station. The train station separates us from Menards. We're right next door to Menards for those who are familiar with South Dallas and Fair Park area. Our phone number is 214-634-2722.
All right, that's great.
Again, that number is 214-634-2722.
All right. You know, Mr. Daniel hit on some points there because we know addiction, Robert, addiction is treacherous and tricky. Sometimes people think, you know, they get out of it, then they find themselves slipping back into a years, months, or whatever it may be. You know, it breaks my heart. I hear stories from time to time, not so much as I used to, that, hey, I was clean for 20 years, and all of a sudden I slipped back in there. Because I feel personally they did not have a support group or mechanism to help them along the way. You know, because once you embed in something, you know the resources, and we know the symptoms. The symptoms come long before the addiction. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Negative behavior. You know, Mr. Daniel was actually stressing on some things because we realized that we can't cure anybody, but we have to be able to expose them to this and let them know that help is possible. And I like what y'all are doing, exposing and presenting. It's what you're doing.
And, you know, you said the key factor. One of the things that I take pride in, first of all, we've been around for 16 years. Second of all, because I know the nature of addiction and that people get ready when they get ready. We know and we are charged with just being there, being available. Whenever a person is ready, we want to be there, you know, to provide APA members with recovery support services and a talent recovery plan within a safe and nurturing environment. So that's our goal, is to be available whenever a person, you know, we got two big sides outside. We have a stand-up sign that highlights what we do in our building, and we have a sign on top of our building, and it reads APA Recovery Community Center. We have a recovery community center, and everybody is welcome. And that's what we know is important, is being available, being visible, and know that when a person is ready, what they say, when the student is ready, a teacher or a peer. So we want to be available, we want to be present, and we want to model. I think it's important that people see what recovery looks like, you know, and we want to always be that model and realize that recovery is a reality. Recovery is a reality for millions of people who have been affected by addiction and mental illness. So it is a problem, but it also a solution is there, and it is a reality. Recovery is possible.
Yes. Now, Mr. Daniel, was he able to give you some insight on the question that you had asked?
Yeah, I'd like to ask him something too. Are you currently hiring caseworkers and counselors?
Well, we don't have counselors at APA. We have coaches at APA. And it's always, if you're interested in this kind of work, even if we couldn't hire you, we could prepare you. There's a thing that we help people get certified as recovery coach specialists. And it's a certification that you can come through APA and get. And another thing that we really highlight and proud to say about APA. APA is a volunteer oriented.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am LaShondra Lewis, your host for Free on the Inside, sponsored by Granny's Place. My co-host is Beverly Beasley of Granny's Place, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast where we try to give you information on our community and minister to the youth as well. I would like to give a shout-out to Pastor Michael Morgan of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church and Pastor Richard Terry of the Free Will Baptist Church. This morning, guests...
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do.
Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. We come to you each and every week with ministries and programs that makes a difference in the life of our community. If you log on to this program, you'll see a template and a wording that should jump out and speak to you, say, help change your life. You know, we can't do anything apart from God, but maybe we can introduce and engage in the social events and the things that are plaguing this society. I'm excited this morning about our guest this morning. They are local, and it's very important to know what's available in your community to help our brothers and sisters do this.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary.
Be not weary.
In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am LaShondra Lewis, your host for Free on the Inside, sponsored by Granny's Place. My co-host is Beverly Beasley of Granny's Place, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast where we try to give you information on our community and minister to the youth as well. I would like to give a shout-out to Pastor Michael Morgan of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church and Pastor Richard Terry of the Free Will Baptist Church. This morning, guests, listeners, our guest today is Mr. Bob Sweeney from Dallas Life. He will be giving us some information today on Dallas Life, a homeless shelter. Thank you, Mr. Sweeney, for joining us.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. How are you this morning?
I am well, excited, enjoying the cooler temperatures here in Dallas.
Ooh, isn't that a blessing today? Very good. All right, we would like for you to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little about the Dallas Life.
Sure. Well, as Bob Sweeney, the executive director of Dallas Life, I have spent the last 7 years here in Dallas in what is now the largest shelter. And in 7 years before that, I was in Flint, Michigan in a medium-sized mission. And before that, I was the head chaplain for the state of Pennsylvania's maximum security prison system. And before that, 15 years as a senior pastor in Anchorage, Alaska, and central Pennsylvania. And I tell you that because I found it very interesting as a pastor where people in my churches wanted to make a difference in the lives of the homeless, and they really didn't know how to do that. Then I go into the prison system where inmates wanted to return to society as productive members, and they didn't know how to do that. And now God's blessed us with kind of the best of both worlds, Christian volunteers from churches plugging into the lives of the needy, and we are seeing real change. Since 1954, Dallas Life has been there to rescue the most vulnerable of our population out there by providing services to homeless men, women, children, and families of the Dallas Metroplex area, providing food, shelter, clothing, education, and most importantly, recovery programs based on the scriptures and the teachings of Jesus Christ, where people can turn their lives around. So that's what's so exciting for us.
Well, that sounds so wonderful, and you sound so passionate about it. And just a side note, I didn't know that you were a pastor. I am so sorry for not acknowledging that. Thank you for giving us that information.
Sure.
Are you currently pastor anywhere today?
Well, I do speak at various places. I'm an interim pastor when churches are looking and they're in between. And I help a lot of churches learn the process of how to select a pastor. I use it as an interim ministry, really helping churches realize that pastors are looking for the place that God wants them to be. And so many times when a church is without a pastor, they really rush through the process or just hire a relative or a friend, and they don't take the steps needed to really evaluate the needs of their church, introduce their neighborhood to the Chamber of Commerce, to the various pastors that might be looking, and really pray about this and fast and make it a diligent search for the right man. So oftentimes I'll go in for a weekend and help churches do that and speak over that weekend and challenge the congregation.
Oh, that is such a wonderful thing. God has really, truly given you your calling, huh? That's beautiful. Well, I just would like to say that we enjoy working with the Dallas Life, and we've been there for 5 years where we come down and we help on every other fourth Saturday of the month. We come in and we do the feeding, and on the fourth Saturday in August, we bring all the food and we do the cooking and the serving, and it has been such a joy and a pleasure for the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church to help out in that event. So I just wanted to thank you for allowing us to do that, and I wanted to get a little information on your passion for the Dallas Life Foundation or Dallas Life, and see where you would like to be in the next 5 years.
Well, that's wonderful. First of all, we are grateful for churches such as yours, because organizations our size can simply never operate without our wonderful volunteers. We have over 1,200 volunteers that come down, many in the form of churches that serve meals like yours does. Oftentimes, those folks will come down and have such a compassion, a care, and a love for the homeless that they dump all of that love into a meal that they can serve, and it stays with the resident. It reminds them of the love that the community has for them. When it comes to my passion for homelessness, it's really twofold. One is to really encourage the needy person, and second is really to encourage our society to realize they misunderstand what the average homeless person is like. The media wants us to believe that every homeless person is pushing a grocery cart or standing at a red light with a sign saying, "Will work, God bless, please help." But the truth is, Lissandra, that the average homeless person is looking like you and I. They're just running out of money before the end of the month. They're trying to keep their families together, having lost a job, an apartment, maybe a death in the family. Maybe they just found out they have a deadly disease, and they're struggling, and they look like you and me. We're sitting next to people in our church services every Sunday that are one, two, or three paychecks away from having to stay at a place like Dallas Life, and we would never know it, because too oftentimes we don't ask the questions on that level. We're too used to going to church, smiling, asking each other, "How are you?" and expecting each other to say, "Just fine," and we go our way in pain. And the homeless people that come to us, they come in trauma. They come to us in such distress that they feel as though there's no place else to go. And when the scriptures tell me the poor will always be with you, I realize that homelessness is not going away. It's not a disease that needs to be cured. It's a disorder that needs to be addressed. So if Christ told us that the poor will always be here, perhaps we're supposed to find a way to work with them and bless them in his name and realize that they need help and encouragement, and that's what we have to offer. So when I think of passion, I think of the desire to see a person become the best they can be, whether it be a homeless person getting back to work or that church person who knows nothing about homelessness